Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The Kingston Film Heritage Project and Vulnerable Media Lab have partnered to bring a Home Movie Day event to Kingston in October. Home Movie Day has been an annual celebration of home movies and immature films held at venues worldwide since 2003. Started by a group of film archivists concerned about what would happen to all the home movies shot on film during the 20th century. The event gives community members an opportunity to see their films on the big screen, as well as have their memories digitized for free. Home Movie Day events also often include tips for preserving films. It was announced that Saturday, October 19th, will be the inaugural event for Kingston, taking place at the Screening Room. All proceeds for this event will also be going towards All Our Relations Land Trust, a charitable organization led by Indigenous peoples committed to supporting and protecting the environment in the Kingston area. The theme for films this year is transience. To learn more about this first-time event for the city, CFRC sat down with organizer Adam Cook. Here is a bit of that conversation. This year, the Kingston Film Heritage Project and Vulnerable Media Lab announced Home Movie Day 2024. So this has been kind of a named event since early 2000s. What is Home Movie Day?
Yeah, Home Movie Day started over 20 years ago. Basically, a group of film archivists were concerned about what was going to happen to all the home movies shot on film specifically during the 20th century, a kind of concern that we share at the Vulnerable Media Lab, which is housed in the Film and Media Department at Queen's. And it's an annual event held around the world with different participating cities where local home movies are exhibited for a public audience. This is the inaugural edition in Kingston, and we're really excited to be the ones hosting the first ever Home Movie Day in Kingston.
Yeah, awesome. What was sort of the inspiration to bring it to Kingston, and how are you and your team feeling about spearheading this inaugural year?
Yeah, well, it comes naturally to us working in the Vulnerable Media Lab, which is a state-of-the-art historic media transfer, remediation, and restoration research lab. Basically, we scan, digitize, and restore various media, including celluloid film, but not limited to it, mini DV tapes, VHS, etc., etc. So we're always looking to embark on new projects internally at the lab, but also curatorially. We like to, engage with the public, engage with Kingston, and specifically with the Kingston Film Heritage Project, which we've been running for some months now. We're looking to engage with the city's history, archival materials of the city, and now in the case of Home Movie Day, material produced by locals or people living here. It's okay if they're just passing through too. Our theme for the first edition is transience.
Yeah, for sure. And could you get into that theme a little bit, transience? What was the choice there, and what does that mean exactly?
Well, what it means is something that we're happy to leave to the interpretation of those curious about submitting. Transience, of course, could really be used to describe home movies and vulnerable media in general, of course, the temporary nature of things, of material, but also the passage of time. Home movies are typically linked with nostalgia, so it seemed fitting to go with the theme of transience, but we wanted to keep it as open-ended as possible to let the folks who might have some home movies up in their attic or whatever that they want to dig out, some creativity when they're thinking of submitting to us.
Awesome, yeah, and you describe this media as vulnerable, and of course it's in the title there, Vulnerable Media Lab. I was wondering if you could get into a bit of what that means.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm sure people kind of envision celluloid film, 16 millimeter, 35 millimeter, Super 8, what have you, as being vulnerable. We know that it deteriorates over time unless it's kept in really ideal conditions. We do have our own vault, our own archive in the film and media department where we preserve a lot of different film. But actually, digital media is arguably just as vulnerable. It's a bit of a misnomer that it's celluloid film that is. So really, any kind of media, including contemporary forms of it, are all vulnerable to different forms of expiry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So I guess this event, yeah, it's about nostalgia, preservation. And yeah, are you hoping that this event will continue to be an annual thing in the future? Or are you guys just kind of rolling with it this year?
Well, ideally, yeah. I think it would be wonderful if this could be an annual event in Kingston and ongoing as part of the Kingston Film Heritage Project. What it actually turns out to be is really in the hands of the people listening to this right now. Submissions are open now, and we are open to anything, really. If people want information about how to submit their home movies, potentially have them digitized for their own posterity, and then potentially projected on the big screen, they can do so now. If they go to the Screening Room website, because that's where we will be hosting the screening, you'll find information there, or they can email me at 22ac18@queensu.ca for more information. So it's up to the people who submit their home movies what kind of content we'll get, and how much, what the volume of submissions will be. Hopefully it's popular. It's important to us to keep the barriers to a minimum for this event. So it is pay what you can, with proceeds going to a charity, All Our Relations Land Trust. And we'll be accepting submissions for the rest of the month, and then hosting the screening October 19th at 1 p.m. at the Screening Room.
Awesome. Yeah. And like you just said there, there's still quite a while to submit. Have you received any submissions so far? How's it looking?
Well, the submission process, we wanted to kind of make as easy as possible, both for those submitting and for ourselves. So submitting your home movie actually doesn't involve sharing your home movie with us. You just have to fill out a quick form. Honestly, it takes about 5 minutes to fill out. We just want to hear a little bit about what it is that you are thinking of submitting. And then based on that, we're going to contact a handful of people and get in touch with them about getting a hold of their home movies. And those are the ones that we'll digitize and project on October 19th.
Submissions for home movies to digitize and feature at the screening are being accepted until the end of September. You can visit screeningroomkingston.com for more details. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News on Kingston's very first home movie day. That wraps up your headlines for this evening, and next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report. The Gaels were in the nation's capital on Saturday looking for program win number 500. They took on the 2-1 Ottawa Gigis at Gigi's Field in a game noteworthy for its sweltering summer temperatures. Ottawa's first drive of the game was a good one, but stalled out in the Queen's red zone, leading to a field goal attempt by number 13 for the Gigis, Zachary Copeland. Copeland pushed it to the right, meaning that Queens had a chance to run this one back for a touchdown.
But it's going to be wide, and here we go. One of the most explosive playmakers in the OUA, Ian St. Arnaud, taking this one. He's making a couple men miss. He is still up on his feet. If he's going to get this done, he's got a lot of work to do. He's breaking down the right-hand side of the field. He's got one man to beat. He cuts it in. He cuts it back. Oh, my God! Oh! He did it again!
That's it for your Gaels! 3 in a row!
I have never in my life seen someone like this. Lightning has struck a third time in 2 weeks.
The Gaels' offense would score on their first drive, making it 14-0 early in the first quarter, and then another special teams miscue from the Gigis, this time a blocked punt returned by Queens number 46, Jeremy Hiscox, gave the Gaels a 21-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. The Queens offense would struggle a great deal in the second quarter with two consecutive Alex Vrekin interceptions, which gave Ottawa some much-needed momentum. The GGs got the game within 11, trailing 31-20 at halftime. The Gales' third quarter began poorly with another Alex Vrekin interception, but the Queens' defense would bail their offense out with this fantastic play by number 26, Keegan Vanek.
Miracle rolling out again. That time he gets hit. Oh, that is a pick. Keegan Vanek, baby. And you can put it on the board. That is 6 points for your Gales. Number 26, Vanek victimizes Miracle again. And that one is going to hurt all the more as the Gales put six more on the board.
He sees those GGs and he is just gunning for that interception.
Vanek's interception return for a touchdown gave the Gales a 38-20 lead. They would add 10 more points over the next quarter and a half and shut out the Ottawa offense in the second half to walk away with a 48-20 victory. Vanek had a career day with two interceptions, including one return for a touchdown and a punt block. Meanwhile, on special teams, Ian St. Arnaud has had the most successful 7-day stretch of any special teams player in Canadian history, with 3 touchdowns and over 500 return yards in a 7-day period, starting on September 7th against York, and being capped off with another virtuoso performance on September 14th against the Ottawa GGs. The 3-1 Gales will host the 3-1 Guelph Griffins this upcoming Saturday, September 21st at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Kickoff is scheduled for 3 p.m. and CFRC will be live with the Something in the Water pregame show at 2:45. On Saturday, September 21st, two perennial powerhouse programs in the OUA will go toe-to-toe at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Your Queens Gales will host the Guelph Griffins. Last year, the Gales and the Griffins waged war in a classic contest that went down to the wire. Can the Griffins get their revenge, or will the Gales stay golden at Richardson Stadium? There's only one way to find out, and that's to tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Join us for our pregame show at 2:45 p.m. Kickoff is scheduled for 3. Trust me, folks, you don't want to miss this one.
This is Christina coming in with your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting clear skies with fog patches developing overnight, and we have a low of 13 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, Tuesday, September 17th, we're expecting sunny skies with fog patches dissipating in the morning. We have a high of 27 degrees with humidex that's going to feel like 34, and we have a UV index of 6 or high. Tuesday night, we'll have cloudy periods with a low of 16. On Wednesday, September 18th, we're expecting cloudy skies with a high of 23, and for the night, cloudy skies with a low of 16. On Thursday, September 19th, we have a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 25 degrees, and at night, clear skies with a low of 15. On Saturday, September 21st, we're expecting a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 22 degrees, and at night, cloudy periods with a low of 11. Finally, finishing off the week, on Sunday, September 22nd, we'll have a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 21. That wraps up your CFRC weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC weekly traffic report.
This is your CFRC weekly traffic report. I'm Michael Bulos. Pavement rehabilitations will take place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on Sir John A. Macdonald Overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard ramp closures will be from September 18th, overnight from 8 p.m. to 6 p.m. Highway 401 westbound at Highway 15 will have a full mainline closure over the following days. September 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. Road closures. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert Street, closed until December 31st to accommodate construction, activity, and staging at 484 Albert Street. Baggett Street, Barry to West, closed September 15th from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. for the Battle of Britain Parade. Barry Street, Stewart to Baggett, closed September 15th from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. for the Battle of Britain Parade. Churchill Crescent, College North to College South, closed September 14th from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. for the annual Neighborhood Street Festival. Concession Street, Lansdowne to Alfred, closed September 15th from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. for a gas service installation. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Davidson Street, Pembroke to Ellerbeck, closed September 14th from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. for the Livingston Ave block party. Edwin Street, Collins Bay to Waverley, closed until September 18th for the removal and reinstatement of asphalt. Hillcrest Ave, Kings Court to 7th, closed until October 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. Road will be open to local traffic. Joyceville Road at CN Rail Tracks closed September 15th at 5 p.m. to September 18th at 6 p.m. for crossing repairs. Detours will be in place for the duration of this closure. Kingscourt Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. King Street, Place d'Armes to north end of King, closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. Road will be open to local traffic. Livingston Avenue, King to Union, closed September 14th from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. for the Livingston Ave block party. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street, Victoria to Albert, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. University Avenue, Union to Earl, closed for construction-related activity at Queen's John Deutsch University Center project. Parking disruption. The Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is planned to begin the first week of February 2024 and conclude in late December 2024. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. Other delays. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen Street for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bayridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins phase 2 of the Bayridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbey Dawn to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbey Dawn Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Ontario Street, Brock to Clarence, expect a southbound lane closure September 17th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. to facilitate the installation of vinyl wraps on the planters at City Hall. Detours will be in place for the duration of the closure.
Thanks so much. Here's your CFRC concert calendar for today. On Monday, September 16th, check out the Monday Afternoon Jazz Jam led by Oscar Evans at the RCHA. The show starts at 4:30 p.m. and is $5. Also on Monday night, you can check out Authority Zero, Belvedere, Melon Ball, and the Meringues at the Broom Factory for $25 in support of the Meringues' latest album release starting at 7:30 p.m. On Tuesday, September 17th, Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam with host Tom Savage is back. Drop by the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. for a free show. Also on Tuesday, Lal and Yarrow are playing a by-donation show at the Next Church starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, September 18th, Canadian singer-songwriter legend Martha Wainwright takes the stage at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $40. Also on Wednesday, you can check out Hemingford, Quebec folk duo The Co-Conspirators for free at Hotel Wolf Island, starting at 6 p.m. Later that evening, Too Many Zoos will play a show at the Mansion starting at 8:30 p.m., and tickets are $30. On Thursday, September 19th, you can see Michael George for $5 at the RCHA starting at 7 p.m. Open Season Thursdays with Chris Brown, Joey Wright, and Jason Mercer starts at 7 p.m., Thursdays at Hotel Wolf Island. You can also check out Rev Zed, Mason FM, and the Clay Pigeons for only $5 at the Mansion on September 12th from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. On Friday, September 20th, you can see Cazador with Sparrow Blue, The High Loves, and Julia Finnegan at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $23. You can also join the Happy Hour TJIF at the RCHA featuring a performance by the Smokin' Roosters, a free event starting at 4 p.m. Then stick around for Whiskey Smoke, a country duo featuring Amanda Sorensen and Mike Grice at the RCHA for $5 starting at 8 p.m. Also on Friday, you can enjoy some chill folk rock by Chris Gagier and the Larks for free at Musiki Cafe starting at 8 p.m. Ottawa folk artist Graven with Stephen Stanley will play a show at Hotel Wolf Island on Friday, starting at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $25. And Friday night, starting at 8, folks can dance it up for free at Springer Market Square with music by DJ Trueways. On Saturday, September 21st, folks can drive out to Westport for West Porch 2024 to enjoy live free country, bluegrass, jazz, blues, folk, rock, and more music from front porches in downtown Westport, a free event running all day. Also on Saturday, you can go see Mo Kenny, Piner, and Marlo Green at the Broom Factory. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. and tickets are $20. Dead Root Revival will also play at RCHA on Saturday night starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20. CFRC's own John McClurg will play a show at the Cove Inn in Westport by donation starting at 5 p.m. You can also catch China Cat Riders with the Cherry Garcia Band for free at Hotel Wolf Island on Saturday night starting at 8:30 p.m. On Sunday, September 22nd, you can enjoy a show by Jake Fadlin and the Sturgeon River Boys at the Broom Factory, starting at 2 p.m. Also on Sunday, check out the Brick House Polka Band and Celtic Kitchen Party at Daft Brewing, starting at 1 p.m. Tickets are $25. You can also enjoy some dinnertime jazz by donation at Hotel Wolf Island, starting at 4 p.m. And also on Sunday, Christina Foster and Anna Sudak are playing a show in support of the Little Cat Arakwe Creek Conservation Area's 60th anniversary. The show at Little Cat starts at 1 p.m. and is $5. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca. Here's your CFRC events calendar for today. On September 16th through the end of the month, you can join the Kingston Writers Fest Reading Challenge by reading books on the KWF reading list and be entered into contests to get tickets to see authors in person at the upcoming festival. Learn more on the KWF website. Also on Monday, September 16th, you can head over to the Art and Media Lab at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts for an exhibit by award-winning artist Evan Sharma called My Experiments in Hope, a free event. Also at 6 p.m. on the 16th, you can enjoy free summer swing dancing at the Newlands Pavilion Gazebo by Murnie Tower. The Brass and One Eye Jacks will host their weekly trivia games starting at 7 and 7:45 p.m. respectively. On Tuesday, September 17th, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Tuesday, you can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon downtown at 5:30 p.m. for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun. This run is for all ages and abilities. You can also head over on Tuesday evening to Spearhead Brewing for Board Games Night starting at 4 p.m. On Wednesday, September 18th, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Market pop-up featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options between 2 and 5 p.m. Also on Wednesday, there will be a public talk called Empowering Neurodivergence, Harnessing Strengths for Success. Watch party will be held at Duncan MacArthur Hall from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will host their trivia nights starting at 7 p.m. and One Eye Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free, also starting at 7 p.m. On Thursday, September 19th, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for folks ages 55 and over from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Also on Thursday, Nobel laureate Dr. David E. Card will present a talk called Cause and Effect and Evidence-Based Policies, a W.A. McIntosh public lecture taking place in Stirling Hall at Queen's University from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group for 2SLGBTQ+ runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. You can also check out the musical All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten at the Spire from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., a show running nightly through the 21st. On Friday, September 20th, the YMCA will host its Fresh Food Pop-Up Market, featuring healthy food options that won't break the bank. Also on Friday from 6 to 9 p.m., you can attend a Pet Bowls pottery making workshop and learn to make a custom pet bowl at Amaranth Stoneware out on 745 Development Drive. Registration is $70. On Saturday, September 21st, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, the Friends of Lemoyne Point Fall Tree, Shrub, and Wildflower Sale will take place from 9 till noon at the Lemoyne Point Conservation Area. Princess Street Promenade also returns on Saturday from 10 to 5, running down Princess Street from Barrie to Ontario. Folks can also check out the Foraging for the Seasons workshop running at the Calvin Park branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library from 1 to 3 p.m. and learn about foraging wild edible foods. You can also enjoy a free observatory tour and astrophysics talk called From Dust Grains to Stars and Shots in the Dark by Queen's PhD candidate Parisa Nozari, a public event at the Queen's Observatory taking place from 7:30 to 10 p.m. You can also have a chance to look through the telescope into the night sky, weather permitting. On Sunday, September 22nd, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 p.m. Also on Sunday, the Kingston Kingston Intercultural Arts Festival runs from 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Confederation Park. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event you would like to add to our online or on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca. Don't forget to follow CFRC on Instagram at cfrcmusic.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.